You are listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. Stay tuned.
Salam dear listeners and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. As we pray to Bhagwan to guide our discussion today, when we discuss chapter 28 of Prema Vahini, Bhagwan has graced us with a very special guest, Brother Srinivas Rao. He belongs to the first batch of management students from Bhagwan's University. Swami started the MBA program in 1986. And whenever any program starts, Bhagwan gives a lot of attention. Just like a baby needs a lot of care from the mother, it's the same. Every institution, when it is in its infant stage, Bhagwan would give it a lot of his time. And people who are associated with those institutions in those formative years are really blessed. That way, Brother Srinivas Rao has had the opportunity of many group interviews with Bhagwan that Swami blessed the MBA students with. And after he completed his education in Bhagwan's University, Swami gave him the opportunity to work in his hospital, Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Prashanti Gram. He has been working in the accounts and finance section of Swami's hospital since 1995. And as he reads Swami's Prema Vahini, so many beautiful interactions with Swami over the years surface in his mind. And we are really grateful to Bhagwan that he is here with us for this discussion. So let's listen to what Bhagwan has written in chapter 28, the first segment, and then we will pray to him to guide our thoughts.
ఈ శరీరమందే మరణించక మునుపే నిత్య సత్యమైన పదార్థమేమిటి? అట్టి సత్య పదార్థమునకు మానవులకు కల సంబంధమెట్టిది అని తెలుసుకొనవలెను. కఠోపనిషత్తు ఉత్తిష్టత జాగ్రత్త ప్రాప్యవరాన్ని బోధత లెమ్ము జాగరూకుడవై పెద్దలైన వారిచే ఉపదేశమును గైకొనుము అని బోధించుచున్నది. లోకమున అనేక సందేహములతో డోలాయమాన మనోవృత్తిలో ఉన్నవారు ఏది స్వీకరించదగినదో ఏది వర్జ్యమో ఎరుగలేక సమ్మూఢవృత్తి గమించెడువారు అంత గ్రుడ్డివారు. ఏది తమస్సు ఏది జ్యోతిస్సు ఏది మృత్యువు ఏది అమృతము తెలియక మోహబద్ధులై చరించుచున్న మానవులు నిత్య సత్యమైన సర్వజగత్తుకు ఆధారమై వెలుగు ఆ స్వయం ప్రకాశ స్వరూపమును తెలుసుకున్నటకు దారిచూపించు పెద్దలను ఆశ్రయించవలను. అప్పుడు ఈ లోకమైన స్వర్లోకమైన అంతా ఒక్కటై వెలుగుందును. అందుకై తీవ్రమైన ఆవేదనతో ఆచరణకు త్వరపడవలను. ఏ సుకృతము వల్లనో లభ్యమైన ఈ మానవ జన్మను సదుపయోగపరుచుకునుట మానవ ధర్మమే కాదు విధి కూడా. అట్టి జన్మము కలుగుట కూడా ఎన్నో సత్కర్మల ఫలితముగానే. కేనోపనిషత్తులో చెప్పినట్లు నచేది హవేది జమహితా వినష్టిహి, చేతికిచ్చిన అమూల్య రత్నమును జారవిడిచిన విధముగా అన్ని విధములా తరించుటకు అవకాశము సదుపాయములు ఉన్నను తరణోపాయము ఆలోచించకపోవుట గొప్ప నష్టము కదా. మానుష వేషమున దురభిమాన పూరితులై పశువృత్తిని కొని చెడిపోవు వారలకు సమయం మించిన లాభం లేదు, ఎట్టి ప్రయోజనమూ ఉండదు. ముందే యోచించుకునవలెను. ఇల్లు కాలునప్పుడు బావిని త్రవ్వుటకు ప్రారంభించినట్లుండును. అందువలన వివేకియగు మానవుడు తత్వజ్ఞానమును గ్రహించి మరియు పెద్దలు అనుభవజ్ఞులు చెప్పిన విషయాలను సర్వస్వముగా ఎంచి ఆచరణలోనికి సాధ్యమైనంత త్వరలో తీసుకుని వచ్చుటకు సర్వశక్తులా ప్రయత్నించవలెను. కాని తిరస్కరించుట, కాలమును వ్యర్థపరచుట మానవ నామధేయమునకే లోటు.
One must realize in this body itself, before death takes its toll, the eternal truth and the relationship between man and that truth. The Kathopanishad exhorts, Uttishtata Jagrata Prapyavaranibodhata. Arise, awake, get initiated from the great. Those who are agitated by doubts about what to accept and what to reject, and those who cannot distinguish between darkness and light, death and immortality, all such people who are blinded by illusion should approach great persons who can show the path to understand the eternal truth, the self-illumined basis of all creation. Then this world and the world beyond will be merged in the same effulgence. For the sake of this realization, man should have deep yearning and determined, disciplined practice. This human birth itself is the result of many meritorious acts in the past. Therefore, it is not only the right thing to put it to good use, but also one's bounded duty. In fact, such a birth is the reward of countless good deeds. As the Kenopanishad says, Nachedi Havedin Mahati Vinashtihi. The jewel in the hand should not be dropped aside. When there are many chances of saving oneself in this life itself, is it not a big loss if no thought is spent on the ways of escape? Time is running out for all those people who, even though are in human bodies, are fostering animal tendencies and evil traits. This is of no use. One must ponder on this much in advance. Else it is like digging a well when the house catches fire. Therefore, the discriminating individual will endeavor by all means at his disposal to understand the underlying principles, to master the teachings of the great men who traverse the spiritual path, and to bring all this, as much as possible, into the ken of one's own experience. Without this effort, if one discards the path and wastes his life, it is an insult to the very name of the species.
So, those are Bhagwan's words, and in fact, as I was listening to this, I think perhaps Sai Prakash will agree with me. This is something that Bhagwan mentioned in the very first chapter. You remember, Sai Prakash, the importance of human birth?
Absolutely, yes.
And here we come back to that topic again, where Swami is stressing, you realize that the very fact that you are alive, the very fact that you are breathing, the very fact that you are thinking, the very fact that you have this human body, that itself is such a huge privilege, something we take it for granted. And then Swami says, this birth is so special, and we should know what is the special purpose for which this birth is given. And in fact, two sayings of from the Upanishads, which Bhagwan used to always talk about, also come to my mind, where Swami said, Sharira Madhyam Khalu Dharma Sadhanam. I mean, the whole purpose of this human body is to perform the dharma, that is what it is meant for. The Khalu Dharma Sadhanam, it is only for dharma. I mean, if you take the whole Purusharthas also, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, I mean, the basis is dharma there. You have, artha should be based on dharma, and moksha also should be, the kama should be only for moksha. I mean, that is what is the philosophy Bhagwan mentions. And the other saying is, paropakarartham idam shariram. And I think this is what is there, very evident if you walk into the hospital. Paropakarartham idam shariram. I think that is something which occurred to me as I read this, because Swami is talking about human birth, the purpose of the birth, And to me, that purpose is that paropakarartham idam shariram. And to know that the very reason we are here is something which is definitely beyond the body, something which is much, much deeper. Brother, from your interactions with Bhagwan and as you read this, what occurred to you, Brother Srinivas Rao?
Om Shri Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, Brother.
I thank Bhagwan for giving me the opportunity to be present here today to do a satsang with you all. And I was so happy to go through the chapter 28 of Prema Vahini that you asked me to share my thoughts on. And as I was reading the first para itself, where it says that one must realize in this body itself, before death takes its toll, the eternal truth.
Yes.
And what is the relationship between man and the eternal, that eternal truth?
Correct.
So I was trying to contemplate what is eternal truth in the first place.
Hmm.
So I thought that Bhagwan himself has descended onto this human plane and gave himself the name Satya.
Hmm.
And what better way to know what is truth than to hear him say, I am I.
Wow.
During the 60th birthday discourse, he was announcing that I am not a yogi, I am not a bhogi, I am not a tyagi. And really I thought Swami will now declare, I am God.
Hmm.
But he stumped me, or maybe everybody, and by saying, Nenu Nene.
Wow.
I am I. It didn't make any sense really to me, because it was way above my head.
Hmm.
Because normally we expect that Swami is God, and I want to hear that from him, and that's enough for me.
Hmm.
But this is something that Swami wants every devotee to think about.
So it's like we have given that word God to that I.
Yes. And when he says, I am I, we are not able to relate to that God.
Hmm.
Because Swami says, there is no difference between you and me.
Hmm.
You are also God, I am also God. The difference is that you do not know that you are God and I know I am God.
Yes.
And it is this truth that is eternal, and we have to realize this in our life, during this lifetime itself. The human life is given to realize this while being in the body. It's not something afterlife.
Correct.
Swami said there is nothing like afterlife. All you have to attain in this very body, all the punishments for your bad deeds or good deeds are rewarded in this very life.
Hmm.
Don't look beyond this life.
Hmm.
So that's where I thought that the eternal truth one must talk about is this very truth that I am that. With the help of Swami, we should be on this path. And when talking about what is the relationship between man and that truth, Swami said in his own words in the hostel discourse once, the Panchakshari mantra, Trova Veduka Ganota Dodda Buddhi. Meaning, one must tread back along the path one has come from. And seek his origins. Trova means path. Veduku, search. Ganuta, for. Dodda buddhi. Dodda buddhi means its wisdom lies in searching one's own path backwards, tracing one's own path, one's own origins.
That is what is wisdom.
Yes. So the relationship between man and that eternal truth is this. That man tends to fall from his heights of being divine because of the interventions from the mind and ego, which leads to rebirth. So in the process, he actually falls, I should say that. And gurus are there in our life, they appear in our lives to show us the path back to our truth. And here we have Swami himself, who is the guru, guide and God.
Yes.
That's how I started thinking along these lines about what is eternal truth and what is the relationship between man and that truth.
Wow.
Absolutely. In fact, there's a very beautiful episode which is written in one of the books. In the 60s or 70s, Swami is speaking to this devotee. Swami had given them an interview. And everybody those days were conscious of the fact that, you know, they're coming into this life, they're coming to Prashanta Nilayam to get the experience of ultimate merger, moksha. They had that kind of spiritual pursuit. And all of them were sadhakas. I mean, even now, everybody is a sadhaka. So, moving towards that. And so, obviously, they said, Swami, we have spiritual doubts. We come to you. We want you to clarify. But you have been telling that in a few years, you are going to distance yourself from us.
Hmm.
You will not give darshan. Hmm. You will not give interview. Then how will we come to you?
Mm-hmm.
How will we get your proximity? And then Swami said, I didn't say that I will distance myself.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, I didn't say that I will distance myself. But more number of devotees will come. And for me, everybody is the same.
Hmm.
All are alike.
And time is same.
Time is the same. So I'll have to give my time to everybody.
Hmm.
So because more number of people are coming, your time with me will reduce. Then Swami made that beautiful statement. Swami says, don't say that I will change. I am Brahman. How can I change?
Wow.
Just, you know, immediately she says, Swami is speaking to us, Swami. We are talking about interview, darshan. Swami said, I am Brahman. I am changeless.
Hmm.
You people are changing. In fact, you should start trying to see me within yourself. And you should go to the next level of spiritual, this thing Swami is saying. And then Swami, then they ask Swami, what are the stages we should go through? Swami said, forget stages, forget all this. Just make yourself available for God.
Wow.
Make yourself available for me. Do namasmarana, make yourself available for me, that's all. Everything else.
Your availability is the only capability that is needed.
That's all is needed. He says, rest of it, sleep.
God will give you the ability.
That's it.
Wow. I think that's so profound. We have seen that in the hospital also, isn't it? I mean, so many people, they just made themselves available to Bhagwan, and through them, Bhagwan has done fantastic work in the hospital, in various institutions. I mean, when you see here in the ashram also, I mean, you find people who have come here even after retirement, but, you know, just they made themselves available to Bhagwan, and Swami sort of retired them, and they have immensely contributed so much. But as we go on, you very beautifully elaborated on the first two lines. One must realize in this body itself, before death takes its toll, the eternal truth and the relationship between man and that truth. In fact, I remember once in a Treyi session, Swami asked, what is the purpose of human life? And as Bhagwan elicited answers from different students, and finally Swami took that word religion, and Swami broke it into re-ligare. And then Swami said, re is to go back. To go back to the source. That is what is the purpose of religion. And I think that is what brother also very beautifully explained. That relationship between man and that truth. That is what we have to discover. And then Bhagwan moves on to Kathopanishad. Your thoughts on that, brother?
See, Swami says, get initiated from the greats.
Yes.
Now, having found Swami in our life, there is nothing greater.
Mm. Nobody greater.
But yes, strictly speaking, if you are on the spiritual path, there are certain norms along the path that one has to follow. So when Swami is writing some scripture like this, like Prema Vahini, where he is actually enunciating on the steps needed to be followed when you want to reach your goal, that is, if you have not found Swami in your life, you will be always seeking after some guru. But Swami always says that one should not change gurus often. Many people, Swami says that this is not a musical chair.
Yes.
Nor is it stock market share script. Like you buy the hottest script and leave the non-performing one. So many people tend to...
Can't change with seasons.
Tend to change gurus. Whoever is the latest. Whoever is going to give me my liberation, my moksha quickly. So this kind of approach leads to dissipation in your concentration on your path. Swami discourages that.
You might feel that worldly wise you are smart, but actually spiritually you are being dumb.
Yes. And there is a huge difference between any other ordinary guru,
yes,
and Swami.
Absolutely.
Here God is himself our guru. That's why I am thinking along this statement of Swami that one should get initiated from the greats.
Yes.
One disciple said to his master, I remember reading in one book, Master, I have been to 10 gurus. And the master said, how did you survive 10 gurus? You should have dissolved by now. because the master said that when the disciple and the guru meet, both vanish. Only the truth remains.
Oh, wow.
So ego annihilation is guru's only task, actually. So it is for this purpose Swami was saying, get initiated from the great.
Yes.
And when you go to Swami, what I learned is that we are not, if you really assess ourselves, we did not come here as seekers, spiritual seekers.
Correct.
We came as students.
Yeah.
And frankly speaking, to use Swami's own words, we are literally street dogs.
Absolutely.
And these street dogs are converted into spiritual seekers in course of time.
Yes.
In tune with his own, each one in his own nature. Without hurrying you up, making you go through life.
Yes.
In the way you felt it should be.
What is appropriate to you.
What is appropriate
and for your development, yes.
And that only God can do this.
Absolutely.
Any ordinary guru will say, you follow me for these many years.
Yes.
Then I will give you a diksha and a mantra. Here it has not been.
Swami has a tailor-made path for each one.
Yes. See, like what I understood is that we have a place to reach, a center, and we are at a distant point. If we do not have a guru in our life, we tend to go in concentric circles, not knowing how to reach the center. And Swami, when you find your Swami in your life, he draws a straight line from where you are to the center.
Wow, shortcut.
Shortcut. This is the advantage of having Swami as your guru in life. Having found him, you have really nothing to do except follow what he is saying. And he has given us a wonderful life which is suitable, conducive to your spiritual growth. Without really asking you to do any particular sadhana or anything, insisting on anything strictly. If you do it, well and good. But even otherwise, if you can just concentrate on the work given to you, the seva, that itself will lead to your salvation.
In fact, and I think Swami has also mentioned that to so many devotees, and especially we were listening to one brother, Sai Sanidhi brother, whom Swami said that for you liberation is, because he was a teacher, and Swami said that you don't have to do any other sadhana. All you have to do is to look after my children. If you look after my children as if, you know, they are own and as if they are God's children, and you shape them into men, ideal men of character, that is enough as a sadhana for you. You don't need to do anything else. And I think that has been, and I remember the sir's name, you know, Sai Ram sir, I mean, that has been his life's mission.
I will tell you something else.
Mm-hmm.
One of the students is a tabla player.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that one day Swami said, your tabla is your guru.
Mm.
I did not really understand it initially, but then I thought about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to sing.
Correct, I know.
And I was always unhappy with my singing.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a trained singer. And I always used to feel a little dissatisfied with the output. And my own, mental hindrances used to be coming in the way of my performance. And I used to think maybe where I'm going wrong, I should see and correct myself. And then I used to improve. Then I thought about this boy to whom Swami said, may your tabla be your guru.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it he is doing? He is seeing a person and deciding how he should grow and evolve through whatever little thing he is doing.
Yes.
So tabla is becoming his own guru in the sense that he will now start thinking about how to play well, where am I going wrong. Outer is nothing but an expression of the inner.
Correct.
So if the outer output is good, your inner is good. So in that same way, if your inner thoughts are perfect, what you deliver outside is also going to be perfect.
If you're referring to Brother Shiv Kumar,
exactly. I didn't want to take name.
Yeah, no, because we have done a very extended conversation with him on the radio in our series Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, and I remember this, him narrating this, and it's very significant also, because, you know, it is through tabla, you know, we say traditionally, you know, mother shows the father and father shows the guru and guru takes one to God. For Shiv Kumar, it is a tabla that took him to God, you know. It is a tabla that really made his life filled with Bhagwan's grace. Yeah. So that way, tabla has been his guru.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and as you said, so Swami has a tailor-made path. Swami has a very unique path for each person, and you just have to persevere on that path, and you will get your goal. And there are as many paths as there are people.
Yes.
That is the beauty of this destination of the ultimate truth, isn't it?
And when Swami says each one is God, why? Because God is infinite.
Yes.
And each one expresses that infinite.
Yeah. So the infinite ways
infinite
to know
ways.
The infinite.
Yes.
Yes. Wow. Beautiful. And here, as you move on, Bhagwan says that, one should approach great persons who can show the path to understand the eternal truth, the self-illumined basis of all creation, and that's what we were discussing. But then comes the line, then this world and the world beyond will be merged in the same effulgence. When you read this, what occurs to you?
See, there's no real difference between this life and the world beyond.
Mm-hmm.
This life is a preparation for the world beyond, actually. And our task is to divinize this world, actually.
Mm.
And I can best explain this through one very wonderful aphorism of Sri Aurobindo, where he says, the life we lead conceals the light we are.
Oh.
Actually, we emerge from the light.
Hmm.
For a brief while, our mind acts as a wheel and prevents us from seeing the light. So the life we lead is actually concealing the light.
Wow.
So our task is actually to remove this veil, and what will remain is only that self-effulgence.
Wow. Then there is no this world and the world beyond.
Absolutely.
That's what Swami is saying. Everything will be merged in the same effulgence. And for this, Swami says, you have to have deep yearning. You have to have determined, disciplined practice. And I think this is something that something you cannot compromise on, isn't it? Determined,
Swami
disciplined
has,
practice.
Laid down enough routines to sanctify our daily living.
Yes.
Because starting from Omkaram, Suprabhatam,
yes.
Nagar
yes.
Sankirtan, bhajans,
then
your work, come back again in the evening, plus you can do your own sadhana.
Yes.
But he has not really insisted on anything too harshly. If you are interested, do it, but otherwise practice one thing at least in your life, that is enough. And Swami always says that without effort nothing can be attained. So in Telugu also he says, Kani Karchuka Kordu, Kani Kaivalya Mutti Padali. How is it possible?
Meaning?
Not a pie should be spent.
But I should get
but you want salvation. Spending a pie, spending money means doing
effort. Effort, yes, yes, yeah.
So actually I also remember one of the students in Vrindavan in the 1970s, late 70s I think. He was going home for his summer vacation. And he asked Swami, how do I lead my daily routines when I go home for summer vacation? Because there will be a lot of distractions for me at home, watching TVs, going for movies. So then Swami took a piece of paper and pen and wrote down what should be his daily routine.
Oh, wow.
He said, follow this daily. And also, I also remember once, Swami had a liking for particular students because of various reasons. Because they were very good in studies, they used to be very good leaders, people who were idolized by many students. So we used to wonder what is so special about them that every day they get so much attention, interviews, and they just walk into Swami's rooms and come out. Then one day Swami said, see, you will wonder why I am talking to so-and-so. This boy, I don't want to name here.
Yes.
Swami said, this boy, without fail, wherever he is, he will get up in the morning at 5 a.m. and sit in his bed and do Omkaram Suprabhatam.
Oh.
And another boy he pointed out and said, this boy, wherever he is, even in a hotel, he will always chant Brahmarpanam.
Oh. Oh my God. Any one thing.
One thing.
But
is what he has searched for in them.
Uncompromisingly.
And kept rewarding them for that.
Wow.
And another student, he said, wherever he is, he will not fail to do Pradhyanam for half an hour before going to bed in the night.
Wow.
So when you talk about discipline practice, it's really difficult if you follow the spiritual path. From what I read and share, autobiography of yogi, etc. If you go through those rigors, we are not just cut out for that. Fortunately, we have found Swami, who is pretty easy on us. Not as easy as many people think. It has been very difficult to be with Swami.
Yes. If you are serious about your spiritual path.
Yes, and he is very particular about, mixing with women, ladies.
Yes.
And
yes.
So once actually he asked one boy, when is your marriage? Then the boy just kept his head and nodded his head against it and said, no, you went to Tirupati and asked. Is it not?
Swami told that?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Then Swami said, before that boy confessed, he said, what you think that you hide from me? That is only a branch office. This is the head office. And then, so he was very particular about discipline in these matters. So much so, one of my friends here even now tells me that we are brought up in such a different way by Swami. He has been so strict with us. Even today, he is a bachelor serving Swami. He says, even today, I am afraid to put a wedding card on Samadhi.
Oh my God.
I'm afraid to think of that. So that is the way actually Bhagwan is very, very strict.
Mm-hmm.
In the olden times,
I know it was.
If you ask, means if you hear Sri Raja Reddy Garu, everybody.
Yes.
It has been very, very tough to be with Swami. Swami is like a fire.
Yes.
A fire means nothing else but this, that you cannot follow the discipline he expects of you. But then, over a period of time, Swami realizes, because he is love and compassion.
Compassion, yes.
So he has decided that if this is the way I continue, not many people will be left here. So then he condescended to open these institutions to allow all of us to take shelter at his feet. And then he has eased out all these steps for us so that we also find a place at his feet.
More people. And but at the same time, I think there were things which you can never compromise on with Bhagwan. In fact, and especially when you're referring to character, I think that was always Swami's focus. I mean, he would never tolerate any lapse on that front, isn't it?
Yes. But what I've seen is that one need not really fear if you believe that everything is known to Swami.
Yes.
You should tell everything to Swami.
Swami, be clear.
I have seen many times. If you confess to Swami, he is your best friend.
Wow.
Even if you have done the gravest mistakes.
Yes.
He immediately protects you.
Absolutely.
From all ill fame.
Absolutely.
And all the ill effects of whatever may have happened.
Yes. Because there is no one.
But yes, with the condition that you are going to rectify yourself, mend your ways and not repeat it.
Wow. I think that's fantastic. I think everyone has experienced that. There's no one more understanding, more compassionate than him. If, as you said,
you
take
hide
him along,
from him.
Yeah, yes. Be genuine with him. Be genuine with him.
Yes, yes, yes. He expects that from you.
If you are transparent, no problem. He is there with you till the end. Wow.
But everything is for the purpose of improving you and making you
better, yes.
Improve and go upwards,
yes.
And not downwards.
To purify you, yes.
Just to purify us.
As Swami always mentioned, I mean, you want a beautiful jewel, the gold has to be cut. There is no other way. I mean, he is the fire and this gold has to go to the fire and it has to get some beatings. Only then it will become a jewel. And I think that is what spiritual path is all about.
Swami is saying, for the sake of this realization, man should have yearning and heart discipline practice.
Yes.
In fact, this whole idea and pursuit of realization and moksha and all that. So, like this, the devotees ask Swami again, Swami, Atma Sakshatkara, we want. Adidurki em priyojanam. Like, what is the point of that Atma Sakshatkara? He said, 5 minutes. It comes in 5 minutes.
Swami said.
You can get it in 5 minutes. And once you get it, once you actually reach that state of Atma Sakshatkara, you can live only for 21 days, he says.
Oh.
He says, once you get that experience of oneness, this thing, you can live only for 21 days. A physical body can live only for 21 days.
Oh my God.
And he said, instead of that, don't even ask for that. Don't even ask for that, because just leave it. I have given you this routine, I have given you this path. enjoy doing bhajan and enjoy doing namasmarana. Lead your life. This is a better way. Don't, I want this, I want moksha. That also becomes a desire. That also becomes something which... give up even that. He says, give up even that. Just enjoy, be, you know, namasmarana and be with Swami.
That's ultimate it. Freedom.
That's enough. Everything else Swami will take care. Such a beautiful perspective to the whole thing. He says, don't even aim that I want this sakshatkar, I want that, I want, because what do you know? And they asked Swami, Swami, what is the easiest path? Like Swami has always said, namasmarana, namasmarana. And he says, different people say different things. Many people look at it in a different way. Like somebody might come and say that the river is formed only because of the rain. Okay, people say because it has rained, the river has formed.
Yes.
And I am telling the other way, that because of the river, the rain is coming.
Oh.
Swami says, I am saying because of the river, the rain is coming. Now, what is this river? He says, this river is sadhana.
Oh.
This river is the path of this sadhana. So, he says, if you have the sadhana, the shower of anugraha will come. The rain of anugraha will come when you have the river of sadhana. And that sadhana, he says, you just start with namasmarana, that's all. You keep doing namasmarana, I am telling you. In fact, in Dhyanavaini, he says very beautifully, he says, don't disclose this to everybody. Need not go around and tell that I am doing namasmarana, because they will tell you that it's not very powerful. But I am assuring you, very beautifully he says, I am assuring you, don't worry about what others are saying. I am assuring you that you do namasmarana, that's enough. I will take care. So he says, because of that sadhana, that river, that anugraha, that rain comes, and I have given you this name, I have given you my name, with this fire of nama, just burn all your karma. That's what Swami says.
Wow.
Very beautifully.
Yeah, in this present day world, with all these tensions and whatnot, actually if you see, there is nothing else really you can do as a sadhana.
Yes.
And namasmarana only saves us. And Swami has left the biggest legacy, as they say, is the bhajans.
Absolutely.
Right.
And for devotees, it has saved them. For all of us also. And he's singing his glory, singing his name. You just forget. See, I'll tell you. We do the work whole day from 8 to 5.
Yes.
And sometimes we end up getting lost in the work and tensions, whatever. And you will wonder, how do I get out of this and how do I unwind? And if I don't go for bhajans on that day, and I continue this stress, mental stress to the bed.
Oh.
And I don't unwind easily. But whenever I attended bhajan, with the aarti, it's over.
It's all, everything
and
is burnt.
I come back home and from 6:30 to the time I sleep at 9:30, I'm totally enjoying more and more.
Wow.
Another 3 hours of joy.
Wow.
Because my mind is cleared now.
Wow.
But if I don't do that, and also I used to, when Swami was there, we used to come rushing to the bhajans.
Yes.
Because one is seeing Swami, second is bhajans.
Yes.
Then I told one of my colleagues that only when I come and sit for bhajans, my day ends up well. And I enjoy seeing Swami. Of course, singing is a big bonus. And on the day you sing and Swami looks at you and his cool looks fall on you.
Yes.
And it's all, your day is made. So one, and then my friend suggested something else. You go a step further, he said. He said, when you sit in the bhajan hall, just look at the red robe. Don't see anything else. That is itself meditation, he said. Seeing Swami itself is a meditation. So there is no other sadhana required.
Wow. Beautiful.
My mother used to say, after all sadhanas only, you have found him. What other sadhana is required? Enjoy him.
Enjoy him. Wow.
And that's really nice. Even Swami used to insist on this. come for darshan regularly, don't miss darshans.
Yes.
The effect, the impact of darshans on your mind, on your,
yes,
on your life is not known to us.
Mm.
So because of that only, wonderfully he has prepared us in life.
Mm.
And it's a right royal route now.
Beautiful. In fact, I'm reminded of how someone very beautifully said, when Bhagwan was in the physical form, darshan was meditation, isn't it, for
yes,
us?
Yes.
Because every time Swami came, you know, your attention was so focused on Swami. You know, you had completely oblivious to what was happening around you, who is sitting, who is not sitting, you know, what the other person next to you is doing, because you were so one-pointedly waiting for the slightest of gestures of Bhagwan. You know, you're looking at every little movement of his eye, every little...
Say, I'll interrupt you.
Yes, sure.
And Swami, we also have certain doubts lingering in our minds, and we think, why is Swami like this? Why did Swami say that?
Mm.
All these kinds of doubts come. Then, even as you are sitting for darshan, Swami is yet to come out, and you all these thoughts will be rushing to your
yes.
minds.
Mm.
But when you see Swami, all these thoughts are gone. All
yes.
these doubts are gone.
Mm.
And till he finishes his darshan and goes into the interview room, and you hear the knock of the door closing.
Yeah.
There is no thought.
Yes. We are becoming, in
it's
a way,
not
amanaska.
Possible for us to do
correct.
This kind of silent yes. sitting or controlling our minds and thoughts.
True.
Impossible.
True.
But the moment Swami closes the door again, these things are back.
Back. True.
So really, actually, talking about sadhana, finding guru
yes.
and
yes.
spiritual goals, all that is totally taken care of by Swami.
Yes. So the darshan itself was meditation for us.
Yes.
Isn't it? And they say that now, in the changed circumstances of not having Swami's physical form, now meditation is darshan.
Yes.
Because now all you have to do, when
close
you see,
your eyes.
Close your eyes and visualize that darshan.
You don't need a video.
Yeah.
You can close your eyes and
yes.
recall Swami.
Recall that entire and darshan scene.
Yes. Once actually Swami sent message to the permanent residents in the ashram
mm-hmm.
through Sri Kutumbarao Garu, the secretary of the Central Trust then, because he found that many staff actually are taking it maybe a little easy.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you find your place at the feet, you tend to relax maybe.
Yeah.
So you don't go for bhajans here, and maybe you give a miss.
Mm.
Maybe you have some personal errands to attend to. Then Swami sent a word saying, tell all the residents to attend bhajans without fail.
Oh.
In the morning slot is meant only for the permanent residents. Tell them that it is rare to see Swami seated on that throne, and that opportunity is given to these residents here.
Wow.
Mm. Never, it's a sight for gods. Even gods don't get this sight of seeing Swami seated on the throne while
during
attending bhajans.
Wow.
So that was a very, very, see, Swami has to remind us about himself.
It's unfortunate. but that is his compassion. You know, he feels that people are missing. I mean, having come, they have already toiled so much, you know, having come here, now they are losing it.
See, the other day I was thinking, in a day, actually, how many hours Swami spent with us? Morning 2 hours and evening 2 hours. And in 4 hours, he has given us so much.
Absolutely, yes.
What about the rest 20 odd hours? We don't even see him, he is not available to us. And if he is available, what he would have accomplished? And with these 4 hours, he attained everything. He achieved everything, his goals, whatever he wanted to do for the devotees, for their emancipation. So such was the power of that darshan.
Absolutely. In fact, Swami has also mentioned that after darshan, you should not talk to anyone. After darshan, you should go to a quiet place. And that aura and that energy that comes from my being, if you are in a state of solitude, you will allow that energy to touch you and transform you, to touch you and penetrate in you and purify you. And if you just go out of the darshan area and you just start talking, then you actually miss treasuring the blessing that you have received.
Whatever little today we have got the benefit of is from what little we have done.
Yes.
For that.
Yes.
We did not really do justice to what we got, but still we got a lot.
Mm.
That was his blessing, actually. Blessing.
But I think it is the same even now. You know, you go to Bhagwan's sannidhi and you sit for a bhajan session. It is almost like a darshan session because you are in the presence of the divine, and there is this namasmarana going on.
Wherever his name is sung, he is there. He said,
"Yes,
and very much he is there."
Yes, and because I have heard experiences of so many people, even now, you know, when they come to the samadhi and just one namaskar in the samadhi, one session in Sai Kulwanthal, and there is a sea change in their perspective of life. There is a sea change in what they have experienced. So that mysterious force is at work all the time.
Yes, yes.
Like he said, I am Brahman, I never change.
Yes.
He said, I am Brahman, I never change.
Yeah, the body comes and goes. That power is...
In fact, again, when these people, when they were asked, they were telling Swami about, Swami, this moksha, liberation, because that's the topic, what's the purpose of human life, we want to achieve that. And then Swami said... yes, what is that lagna? Lagna is moksha, merging with this thing. Then Swami's analogies are also beautiful.
he says,
when you have a marriage, why do you make such elaborate arrangements? So people are wondering, what is this connection? Swami is talking about moksha, liberation, then Swami is talking about marriage. So then Swami says, boy and girl, they can come, they can tie the Mangal Sutra, it's over. Why you should have a pandal? Why you should
elaborate ceremony,
invite the guests, how you should have food, or you should have the celebration, why you should have all this expenditure and this gala celebration and all that? Then Swami says, only because there are enough witnesses to say that she is eligible for his property. Swami says, she is eligible for his property. Now that she has tied the Mangal Sutra, she is eligible for his property. Swami says, similarly, if you want to be eligible for my property, if you want to be eligible for my property, which is moksha, which is merger, which is that liberation, he says, you should do this sadhana, you should do japa and everything. When you do this sadhana japa, who is your witness? All the sages and the yogis are your witness.
Wow.
Wonderful.
He says, the sages, the yogis and all the gods, they are your witnesses. So when you do this elaborate work of doing the japa, dhyana, namasmarana, whatever you do, like sir was saying, one thing, take up one thing and do it. When you do this continuously, that Mangal Sutra is, when you tie...
That is the sacred sutra, the bond, Mangalam.
Mangalam. And then he said that the rishis are your witnesses.
Witnesses. Wow.
And then you get the freedom
to be with the Lord.
To get my property, that is to get me. Very beautifully, Swami explains.
Wow. Amazing. I mean, that marriage is the mergence.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Wow, I think we have not even done with the entire segment. You know, every sentence you take, and there are so many beautiful memories that come. Time is running out, Swami says, for all the people who even though are in human bodies are fostering animal tendencies. For us also, time is running out to close this program because it's already more than an hour. But I think there is definitely some pointers for us to think from what we have discussed today. So, dear listeners, we have to wind up this session since the clock does not wait for us. But the discussion can go on. The ruminations and the meditations on what Bhagwan has mentioned is something that we have to continue to do. And in fact, in another chapter, Swami said that if you exist as a human, there has to be one continuous sadhana that is going on. You cannot be a human being if there is no sadhana that is going on in your life. So as brother was saying, we have to take up at least one sadhana, something, and follow that religiously with absolutely uncompromising manner. I think that is one very powerful takeaway that brother mentioned. You know, we may not be able to do many things, but we can definitely do one thing, and that one thing with great determination, great love, great dedication, and then we will see, once that river of sadhana flows, we will have the anugraha, the grace of Bhagwan from above. And that's the beautiful cycle. You do little sadhana and the anugraha happens, the river and the rain, the river and the rain. I think that is the beauty of our existence. That is the beauty of this relationship. And that is the beauty which will end ultimately in that beautiful emergence where, as Bhagwan says, this world and the world beyond will be in the same effulgence. Beautiful. So please share your insights as you listen to this, as you read and as you practice this. Let's share and let's hold each other's hands as we walk on this path, on this journey of I to we to he. If you have any queries or comments, if you would like to contribute to this discussion, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Offering at his feet these few beautiful moments of satsang and the day-long Thursday life, we bring this session to a close. Thank you so much. Saranam.